Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're digging into the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, or the IBEW. It's North America's biggest electrical union.
That's right. And we've gone through the source material, really trying to understand the structural setup.
Okay, so what's the headline finding?
Well, interestingly, the analysis found no real evidence of centralized financial fraud. You know, nothing systemic coming from the International's main office. But what it did highlight is what the sources are calling a high-risk, low-transparency internal control model. So a systemic risk, just not central theft.
Okay, high-risk, low-transparency. Let's focus on that risk then. Because even if the International itself looks clean financially, the system, it seems, allowed for some major problems lower down.
Exactly. It proved really vulnerable. We saw conclusive evidence of large-scale criminality inside one specific major local union, Local 98.
Local 98. Yeah. Right. And this wasn't just, like, sloppy bookkeeping.
Oh, no, not at all. This was deliberate. It went on for years. The proof point here is the 2024 federal sentencing of Brian Burroughs, who was the former president of Local 98.
Okay. What are they getting him on?
Embezzlement. About $600,000, roughly. But just as critical, maybe even more so from a systemic view, was falsifying federal LM2 disclosure reports.
The LM2s. And for anyone listening who doesn't deal with these, those are the big annual financial reports unions have to file, right? There's just to guarantee transparency.
Precisely. So falsifying them, that's actively hiding the theft from federal oversight. It's a direct attack on the transparency the law requires.
So this raises a huge question then. The IBEW International, the main body, they do have the power in their constitution to step in, right?
Exactly.
Like impose a trusteeship, kick out corrupt officers.
They absolutely do. That authority is there.
So how could they miss this? A multi-year, you know, over $500,000 theft happening right under their noses, theoretically.
Mm-hmm.
How did that slip through?
Well, that brings us straight to this concept of the oversight deficit. The IBEW runs on what's called a federated model.
Meaning the local unions have a lot of independence.
A significant amount, yes.
Right.
Which can be good for organizing power on the ground, makes them nimble locally. But the flip side is it creates organizational opacity, blind spots for the International.
Okay.
And in this case, that structure meant they failed. They didn't detect, or at least they didn't publicly act on, the massive fraud happening for years inside Local 98.
And the fallout wasn't just internal union drama, was it? This lack of oversight went bigger.
Much bigger. That failure, that lack of internal control and compliance was so stark that it actually triggered a formal U.S. congressional investigation in 2024.
Congress got involved. Wow.
Yeah. Looking specifically at the International's own oversight procedures, how they monitor their locals, their compliance systems, it became a federal issue.
That's pretty serious. And it sounds like this external pressure from Congress kind of coincided with some rumblings from within the union itself.
It did. It's fascinating timing. You see this external heat, and then internally, members start asking questions. If the leadership couldn't catch this, what else are they missing?
Makes sense.
So in 2025, you see this dissident group emerge, a rank-and-file caucus called CRW. That's the Caucus of Rank-and-File Electrical Workers.
Okay, CRW. Are they widespread?
They grew pretty fast. About 300 members across something like 40 different locals. And their main argument, their sort of core allegation, it's that the union leadership is failing at its fundamental job. They're specifically pointing to contracts, saying most of them haven't kept up with inflation, with the rising cost of living.
Even with construction doing well, generally.
Exactly. So you have this situation where the failure to police internal corruption seems to have fueled this grassroots movement focused on, well, bread and butter economic issues.
So wrapping this up for you listening, the key takeaway isn't necessarily that the IBEW is corrupt from the top down. It's more subtle.
Right. It's that the way they're structured, this federated system with lots of local autonomy, while maybe having benefits, also creates this kind of organizational fog, makes it hard to see what's happening everywhere.
And that opacity proved really vulnerable to major localized crime, like we saw with Local 98. Which then spiraled into, you know, political trouble with Congress and internal dissent with CRW.
And that brings us back to the congressional probe. We know that the oversight failure is what got Washington involved, which leaves us with, I think, the big unanswered question right now.
Which is?
What was the IBEW International's official written response to Congress? They were asked back on March 15th, 2024, specifically about their internal controls. that document, their formal reply.
That would lay out their plan to fix this oversight deficit.
Exactly. It would tell us how they plan to prevent another Local 98 situation. And until we see that response or know what's in it, this systemic risk, this vulnerability, well, it's still there.